The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 48, The Well Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors. We survived that last episode.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And tonight we will discuss and talk through season 7, episode 2's The Well. And I remember from what Scott M. Gimple said several months back, it is written by Matthew Negrete. It rhymes with spaghetti. And it is directed by Greg Nicotero. So let's get right into news, ratings, and info. What do you think there, Shane?
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
So about this episode, one thing I noticed is that the credits changed. And Alana Masterson, Seth MacDermott, and Christian Serratos have been basically are now not in the also starrings. They're in the starring, in the main credits. And, of course, Steven Yeun and Michael Kudlitz are not there anymore, which kind of sucks. I miss them already.
Yeah, miss that little ginger.
Well, we can still play things like,
"Damn straight, we'll do it live!"
Ha ha ha, that's funny.
Who's Negan?
I have a feeling we'll be playing that a lot still.
Yeah.
Couple things speaking of credits, one thing I noticed last week, but since we had so much to talk about last week, I didn't mention it. Negrete and Channing Powell they're both writers on the show. They've been promoted to co-executive producers. And one of the best writers on the show, who wrote JSS, No Way Out, and Not Tomorrow Yet last year, Seth Hoffman, who was a co-executive producer last year, he's not in the credits anymore, so he must have moved on. And whenever he wrote an episode, it was always solid, so I'm going to kind of miss him as a writer. All right. Ratings. So it is not a shock that the ratings are down from last week, but it still did pretty well. It got a 6.09 in the 18 to 49 demographic with 12.455 million. And considering that was up against some stiff competition, not just Sunday Night Football, but Game 5 of the World Series, which, Game 6 is going on right now. Go Indians. And
go for, Cubs.
Yeah, I was going to say for Kyle, go Cubs. I am not a native Clevelander, so I say go Tigers, but you know, they're gone. Anyway, that is down 27% from last week. So I saw an article that was saying, well, that's down from their average decline, you know, in the seasons 4 to 6, where the ratings have all been kind of pretty similar. The average decline for episode 2 was 14%, but it did not go against football and the World Series, just football. So I think that had a part of it. And also, of course, there were a lot of people that were watching live last week, of course, so because the anticipation was so high. In fact, I have the live plus three. I'll just do that really quick. It got a 10.3 in the 1849 with 20.793 million, which is pretty darn high. Went up 23% and 22% from the live numbers. That is down from the highs. I think No Sanctuary got like 23 million something in the live plus threes. So, but still, it's the second highest rated episode ever. Tonight's episode, or I should say this episode two, was about pretty steady with last year, which got a 6.2 and 12.183 million. So it got a little more in the numbers, a little less in the demographic. I know, I'm a ratings junkie. Talking Dead got 2.03 in the 18-49 with 4.294 million, and that's versus last week, which were insane numbers for the show. And it is true. I did check that the show was the highest rated talk show on TV. Crazy as it is. 3.66 and 7.566 million last week. So that's it for ratings. As far as news, and I posted several things that I found on the Facebook group, which is, of course, facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And if you're not a part of the Facebook group, good old Ron says,
"What, are you serious?"
I will still not use Negan for a while. It's too soon. Still. But anyway, there were several interviews with Michael Kudlitz and Steven Yeun that I posted. They were particularly Steven Yeun was on Conan, and there's several clips on there, and they were actually really funny. If you're gonna watch any of them, I'd say watch those. But Michael Kudlitz, I was a little taken aback at thing he said on two of the interviews that he did, and that's they shot that stuff last year, and supposedly they were not sure at the time whether it was going to be part of the finale or the premiere. And they said that if it had leaked, it would have been part of the finale. So I think that's worth talking for a minute. What do you think about that, Ruthie?
I don't understand why they would do that. Why they would make a decision like that of that kind of magnitude based on whether or not it leaks. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why they wanted to hold it over. I don't know why. I still don't know why they thought that was a good idea. So I can't really, I mean, I still think it was a bad idea to hold on to that.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a good idea until I heard that. And then I suddenly started questioning my thoughts on it. I think justifiably so, you know. So the thing is, if they were going to show those deaths in the finale, my thought was a lot of people would have seen that and said, "I can't deal with this show anymore." And they would have left more so than having it during the premiere. That's the only thought that I can think of, other than the fact that they wanted to do a cliffhanger because it sounded cool.
But I think the same number of people that were going to leave, you know, I don't know. I think that they did not keep viewers anymore based on the placement of the reveal. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think that just because they held it over, like, I guess they could technically, you know, keep those numbers, so to speak, over the summer. But how do they know if there's no episode airing whether or not people are watching? So that's dumb. You know, if people were going to quit watching after the finale, if it pissed them off and they quit watching, they might quit watching after the premiere. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no, the placement of the episode, I don't think has anything to do with whether or not people are going to quit watching. Mm-hmm. I think it's quality of content is what's going to keep people or make them leave.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
So, and at this point in time, they're on my list. Okay. I'm not cutting any slack because I'm irritated.
Wow.
So there.
I was waiting for you to go into complete rant, but you held back. Because if you had gone into complete rant, I would have done this.
Honey, you need to take some yoga breaths and calm your ass down.
I have no idea what that's from, but it's not as funny as you think it is.
Oh, you don't. That was from.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, Malls. That was Malls from The Same Boat. Yeah.
Yoga breaths.
Yoga breaths. Anyway. I still have that issue with Here's Not Here and how it seems to have screwed up that whole season six. You know, it's like, I wish that either it had been episode one, if that was even possible, or, you know, like something like maybe episode two before. No, that couldn't have been episode two. Well, episode three was the one that I was suggesting a while back, you know, so they'd switch the dumpster and Here's Not Here. And I think it would have been
the dumpster.
Or maybe not do the dumpster. Well, that's a whole thing, isn't it? Oh, all right, let's move on. Another thing I posted on the Facebook group was that Maria Bello, who you may know from, she's been in a lot of stuff, but ER, I think, is what she's best known for. She said on a People interview that how much she loves The Walking Dead, says that one of her friends is a producer on the show and that they are writing a part for her in season eight. Now, I don't know if that means a, you know, like a Jeffrey Dean Morgan type, you know, full cast. I mean, considering her resume, you know, I could see her being on the cast. I think she's a great actress. Touch was another thing that Kiefer Sutherland show. She was on that too. But anyway, you know, I think she'd be a great member of the cast. And I know that according to the comic book, there is a character that she could play, that would fit. So at least I know nothing about the character, but I know that there is a female character that she'd probably fit well doing. You know, so anyway, so that'd be cool. What do you think about Maria Bello if she joined the show?
I like her.
Yeah. All right. The other thing, I guess, is since we're doing news, the GoFundMe. So how is the GoFundMe?
It's going well. I am at the halfway point. Mostly in part to an anonymous donor, but I also got, my little thing stopped. Oh, here we go.
You already mentioned Michael Creamer from last
time. Yep. Yeah. And he also wrote us back and told us, thanks, I wasn't asking for recognition, but I'm recognizing you anyway, Michael, so there. And he said that his name is, in fact, pronounced just like Creamer.
Yeah.
Like coffee creamer. So. All right. And then I also got a $10 donation from Sarah Morris. Thank you so much.
All right.
I know. So amazing. But yeah, I'm at my halfway point. Over halfway now with Sarah. Yay.
That's fantastic. So
it's looking close. Brian and I have discussed what we think I should get.
Yes, I am consulting. And
yep, consulting buyer. Yeah,
I want to make sure she gets a computer that is going to, you know, serve her well so that we can podcast for many seasons to come.
Yeah. And if you would like to donate to my campaign to help me get a new computer, the URL is www.gofundme.com/RuthiePodcasts.
All right. So I think that's it for news. So now let's talk about our ratings for this episode. So Ruthie, since I am the conductor this time, I'm going to make you go first. Okay. Since you never want to go first, I'm going to make you this time go first.
That's fine. I just also wanted to make a little correction from last week. I don't have a hard time picking a rating, like a number rating. Usually my hard time is picking some little clever quip to go with it. But this time it came right to me. So I am saying 9.5 cheesemaker references.
That's good. Yes, cheesemaker references. So, well, that's good. I'm glad that you you liked it a lot based on that rating. So I didn't rate it quite as high. And I'll explain why. I didn't hate the episode, and I didn't really have any major problems with it. So, but it, I don't know. I guess I wanted to see how things are in Alexandria. I some people needed the palate cleanser of this episode. I did not. So it wasn't so much that there, I don't know. I gave it 9 passive aggressive pig herders.
Interesting.
Yes. So, yeah. So anyway, I didn't need the break. So that's probably why, you know, but, I didn't find myself trying to do the rewatch. I wasn't, sometimes I'm like really compelled to watch over and over again. This episode, not so much. So, but I liked it.
I liked it better the second time I watched it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like at first, like I said, I am not inclined to cut any slack anymore. Sorry, TWD. You done pissed me off. But I did like this episode the second time, or better. I liked it more the second time. So
I don't have any problem with you not cutting them any slack.
Well, good, because you know. I'm not gonna.
No, that's I mean, I love the show very much, but I can still, you know, I can still criticize it. I'm not that far gone. You know, damn thing makes me cry constantly, but you know, that's besides the point. All right,
is it Brian? Is it? I'm just kidding.
What?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
All right. We got a few ratings from our Facebook group. Lara gave it 9 out of 10 big kitty cats for the well.
And Judy with 2 eyes says, I'll rate it 9 lifted chocolate bars.
Faith gave it 9 out of 10 breakfast cobblers.
And Jeff gives it 8.5 Shakespearean trained zookeepers.
Yes. And you know, he only gave it a 7 last time, so he liked it more. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So shall we do awesome sauce?
Let's do it.
All right. Special awesome sauce jingle this time.
I think you're amazing. It's amazing.
That is funny.
Well, I'll still do this anyway.
Awesome sauce!
Because it just doesn't feel right without hearing Ruthie's sing-songy voice. But yeah, I wanted to use that that stupid Carol thing she said. All right, I'm going to make you go again first for awesome sauce, so go ahead.
The face sliced off Walker. Oh, that was cool.
I had that too, so I'm in total agreement. Yeah, that was really good. So, and I am going to kind of, I kind of hinted at my, awesome sauce, which was, feeding the pigs walkers. How delightfully passive aggressive of them to do that. I mean, I don't know if they were trying to make the savior sick by doing that, or if it was just a big, you know, F you, but it was still awesome and exactly what the saviors deserve.
Yep. Tainted meat.
Yeah. Tainted meat.
Okay. All right. My next awesome sauce was Morgan burying the lead about the tiger. So and King Ezekiel's name. That was funny. Like right before he wheels her in, he's like, King Ezekiel. And he pushes her in. She's like, WTF. And then the tiger. Oh, yeah, there's a tiger. That was cool.
Yeah, I wanted to actually get a soundbite of her coming out of the little auditorium thing to what she said to Morgan. Are you shitting me?
Yep, that was funny
too. Yeah, but unfortunately, Morgan and Carol kind of talked over each other, so I couldn't get a clear audio of it. So it was all I could hear clearly from Carol was shitting me. So I didn't grab it, but I thought it might have been a good are you serious?
That's funny. Yeah, well, you know.
I don't have any more awesome sauce.
Oh, really?
No, I was trying to figure out one, but I couldn't. I kind of had things that were like near awesome sauce and near weak sauce. So, you know.
I guess let's just move on. Shoot.
Laura, and she will elaborate more in her feedback, but she says King Ezekiel is her awesome sauce.
I have to agree. He was pretty awesome. All right. Judy with two eyes says Carol lifting stuff, especially the candy bar. Ha ha ha. I totally missed that. I guess I saw her steal the clothes, but I did not see her steal the candy bar.
All right. Jeff said the horseback zombie killing.
All right. And Dieta gave us awesome sauce. She says the awesome sauce was feeding of the pigs on the dead to fatten them up for the saviors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I definitely agree. So we do have some weak sauce.
Weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Or as Lara calls them, lame sauce. You're worthless and lame. She says, someone in the kingdom is very talented with a stencil set. The quotes on the wall were a bit much and way too pretty, reminding me of proverbs on the walls at Sunday school.
I kind of thought that was the point, I guess. I don't know. Because they all had K.E. after them, as in yes. Their King Ezekiel sayings, like Ezekielisms or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I guess the calligraphy seems to suggest that they have a lot of free time on their hands.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're singing and playing guitar.
Yep.
So, yeah, they got a lot of free time on their hands. All right.
All right. I had several things that I wasn't sure if I should put it in weak sauce or in that. Do you have any weak sauce?
Nope.
Okay. So, I think in a way, I would have been better off if I did not watch Talking Dead because, and it didn't bother me on first watch, but Ezekiel, after I saw that Kari Payton was bald or shaven.
Kari
was, had a shaven head. His Ezekiel hair, it looks like a helmet to me now. I can't not see it any. Like I've tried, but it's still every time I look at it, it looks like kind of helmet hair. Oh. So, and I know that like, you know, Danai Gurira, her dreadlocks are, you know, that's also a wig, but it doesn't bother me as much for her, I guess maybe because of the bandana or something. But I don't know. I kept looking at him, and it just kept bothering me the more I'd see him.
Really?
Yeah. And like I said, it didn't bother me on the first watch. But after that, I kept on looking for like his scalp line. Stupid, I know. But all right. And that's it. I had something here that is borderline weak sauce, but I'm going to leave that for later because it c- comes up a lot in discussion. So we're going to do like we did last week and do feedback first. That seemed to work out pretty well. People seem to like that. So I think we'll try that again this week. See how it goes. So here we go.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Why don't you take the first one?
Okay. We've got some stuff that we have for the previous week, including a voicemail from Cutter. So, so sorry that we did not get this in time. We had a little hitch in our giddy up, I guess. And you sent it on time, but we didn't get it in time. So we're going to hear it now.
All right.
Yeah, this is Cutter from Nashville, Tennessee, calling in for the Walking Dead talkthrough. Hey, Brian. Hey, Ruthie. Just calling in about the premiere, and I got to say, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. It was so brutal, my wife says she's not going to watch anymore. She was so disturbed. But I understand it. I get it. I understand what they were doing and trying to show just how brutal and what an asshat Negan is. And I got to give the awesome sauce moment to Glenn getting back up so he can give that one final goodbye to Maggie with the way that he did. And that was took so much. But the big win of the entire thing is Rick. The total look of devastation and just brokenness in his eyes and his face there at the very end of the episode. It's going to be an interesting road for him to come back. I can't wait to see how it all turns out. Guys, love it. Sorry I haven't been in a lot. You know, fear is over, but new fear is in. And this fear is something to be afraid of. Let's see what happens. Talk to y'all later.
Indeed.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, when you use the 304, was it 304-837-2278 feedback, there is sometimes a bit of a lag for us to get those voicemails. So although, you know, we've got the 6 p.m. Tuesday deadline, just keep in mind, if you cut it kind of close to that, we may not get it in time. So if you're going to use that, you may want to send it in a little bit earlier. But Cutter got it in. Yeah. We just didn't get it in time. So sorry about that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to react to his wife, not wanting to watch the show anymore. And I know you know about this, Ruthie. I got into a lengthy Twitter discussion on, was it Saturday night with Ken from Chicago, who I know that he's a frequent Twitter, you know, guy. He tweets us a lot, but he asked me why I loved an episode that made me feel so bad. And it's because it made me feel very deeply. And like this episode, by contrast, did not make me feel like that. So, I mean, despite how it made me feel, it was because it was so deep. And, you know, I totally respect the people that thought that it went too far. I don't agree. I mean, I look at it and say, you know, what'd you think this show was? But I do get it. I respect that. I listened to a podcast of Doctor of the Dead, who, you know, he's a professor who actually teaches zombie courses in university. And he decided to stop covering the show. And so, you know, he's not going to watch the show anymore. And I'm like really surprised a guy like him is going to stop watching the show. But same kind of thing, too graphic for him. So, okay, I get it. I don't agree. But, you know.
It was pretty gratuitous, though.
It was. It was. And I that's why I say I do understand. I sympathize with people that had that reaction. I just don't agree with it. So.
Okay. Well.
Anyway. We also had a response from, and this was actually discussing our last episode, not the episode of The Walking Dead, but Laura had to say about her after listening to us. She said, "Nice. Just finished and thought you both made good points and covered a lot of stuff. Brian, totally agree with your Daryl is the Trojan horse theory. But one thing you mentioned, and I've heard it from multiple people, is that the producers don't really know what to do with Daryl because he's not in the comics. However, at this point, Carol is also no longer in the comics. And with the exception of the first two seasons, she is a totally different character than Carol of the comics. But the producers seem to consistently find good storylines for her, the escape at Terminus being one of them. I just don't think they put much into Daryl in this past season. He did have good stuff in the past with Merle, Carol, and Beth. I'm really looking forward to how the guilt of his actions is going to shape his story going forward. I can see Daryl getting very dark, maybe even falling in line with the Saviors and maybe changing the relationship between him and Rick. I do believe that Daryl will always remain loyal to Rick, but I wouldn't mind seeing him go double agent and dark Snape style for Harry Potter readers." And there was something I think I posted in Facebook, an interview with Norman Reedus, and he said similar things about like, how Daryl is probably going to go very dark this season, at least for a time. I keep thinking of like, he can kind of be a chameleon in many ways. You know, he'll be good when he can be good, but he can also like, you know, he teams up with Merle and he teamed up with the Claimers, you know, to fit in and stuff like that. So I could see him becoming like a right-hand man. What I'm thinking is going to happen, I don't have any, this is a prediction, this is all it is. I could see Simon, you know, getting killed off and Daryl kind of fitting into that role as the right-hand man, so to speak, after a while. And I hope that doesn't happen. I don't want to see him as the right-hand man to Negan. I don't want him to turn completely dark, but I could see it happening. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know that I've really thought too much about that. I'm trying not to think too much about what's going to go on with the Negan portions of the season, honestly. I don't really want to. I'm completely not invested in the Saviors, except for in how the kingdom can screw them over and kill them, hopefully. Yeah. Can't wait for a team up.
Yes.
Alexandria Kingdom team up and just destroy Negan. And I want it to happen by the midseason.
Well, I think it's going to happen. It's just a question of when, you know. So that was it for last week. So now we have this week. So Ruthie, why don't you read Corey's feedback?
Okay. Corey says, "Very interesting introduction tonight. And I love it. What a wacky character in King Ezekiel. I also love the massive inside joke he has by feeding Walker-fed pigs to Negan and the Saviors. That's hilarious." I agree, Corey. Hilarious.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, King Ezekiel. There's definitely a lot that we can talk about. I guess we'll continue with Laura, because she actually goes into some detail about King Ezekiel. She says, "Really enjoyed the episode. Primarily for the introduction of King Ezekiel and Shiva. I don't even care that you kind of tell she's CGI. She is magnificent." Now, I mentioned, you know, that King Ezekiel was her awesome sauce. So she elaborates here. She says, "He seemed a bit off his rocker and completely hokey at first, but I love his philosophy on life. He seems optimistic, but not naive. And I realized that he's actually a pretty smart dude when he came clean with Carol and called her out on her own BS. Can't BS a BSer. Woo. The king came knocking, Shiva and Toe, to woo Carol with a pomegranate. Smooth, sir. Very smooth. I like the idea of these two possibly becoming a power couple in the future." And then she added more about that. She said, I immediately loved Ezekiel. It must be the tiger. I'm already dreading his someday probable death. I hope he sticks around for a long time.
Oh, man. I hope he doesn't die, because I really liked him, too. At first, I agree. Honestly, I thought, yeah, he is. I was like, whoa, this guy is over the top. Hokey is a very good word for that. He seems very hokey at first, but I gotta say, I completely agree. And I wrote down several times on my little cards here. You know, at first I was like, I don't really know. Like, Carol, I think, is instantly mistrustful of Ezekiel. I didn't really like him at first either, but then I kept writing down, and I like him a little bit more, and I like him a little bit more. And, you know, just as the show is going, I was like, and I think that process made me like it even more when I was watching it the second time through. So, yeah.
When I first heard King Ezekiel, I kept thinking, flashing back to Nick in Fear the Walking Dead, and specifically not Nick, but his mispronunciation of man. Teach me, Father, to be a man.
How to be a man.
If you didn't listen to us on Fear the Walking Dead talk through, we made fun of that several times. And I'll continue to, damn it. I must say that, you know, I didn't know what to make of him. I really needed that conversation at the end with Carol. Because once I heard him say those things, that, you know, basically he's an actor playing a role and,
yeah, he's playing a part.
Yeah.
Putting on a show for people who need it.
And, you know, the tiger, you know, who with Shiva following him around like she does, you know, and the fact that he was a zookeeper. Yeah, it is kind of a mythical kind of thing. So I could totally see him going King Arthur on them. And
yeah.
the thing I like about him, though, is, you know, a lot of times when you think king, you think of, like, you know, dictator, malevolent dictator type thing. You know, some of the things you might see.
Did you just say malevolent?
Yeah, did I say this? Is that wrong?
That is not a word. Benevolent or malevolent.
That's why I tried to say malevolent. What did I say?
I could have sworn you said malevolent.
No. I tried to say malevolent.
Okay.
So anyway, I should just keep that whole darn thing in there. Anyway, I think mostly when I think of kings, I think of malevolent dictators. And he's a benevolent dictator, I guess. You know, he's.
I don't even think he's a dictator at all.
Well, what? I mean, he's ruling, you know.
He's a leader.
Okay. He's a leader.
There's a huge difference between a dictator and a leader. Even a benevolent dictator is still a dictator. Like, I don't get the impression that he's a dictator at all. I think he's just leading them.
Okay.
He's being what they need / want him to be.
He is being a benevolent leader. And you know, I mean, you look at the kingdom and, okay, they're a little bit naive. You know, he's kept certain things in the dark with them. And to that, I say,
there's a conspiracy out there. You know what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N. Conspiracy.
Which, of course, we'll get into later. But anyway, I mean, they've got a good thing going there. I mean, of all the communities I think we've seen, I think the kingdom has it best. I mean, they're self-sustaining. They've got school going. You know, they are doing, you know, songs, and I think they even said there was a movie night too. So, you know, they have power too. I don't know. I think that was said. I got that impression. Yeah.
No, he said movie night.
Okay. He did say movie night.
Yeah. The little kid was like, it's movie night tonight.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Dutch. Yes. Yes. Dutch Reagan, the President Reagan as a young child. Anyway, Yeah. So anyway, you know, the kingdom seems to have it pretty good, and they're not like, say, the hilltop where they don't know how to fight. I mean, they've got some skilled warriors too. I mean, they did pretty well against those walkers and definitely. Oh God, Shorty is snoring next to me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So they're capable. You know, he's got his knights of the realm. So I think that they're the best balance of things that I've seen so far, more than Alexandria, which I think Alexandria, you know, they were naive.
Way more than Alexandria. They don't even know how to protect themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. That was my point. Yeah. And they're not self-sustaining either. I mean, they didn't grow crops and things that they should have done for sure. So,
yeah, they just kept expecting to get lucky, I guess, and find stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
It's amazing that Alexandria had not run into trouble yet beforehand.
It's amazing that Negan's people didn't find them. It really is.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe they were just biding their time about the Alexandrians or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. All right. Judy with two eyes says, I really liked this episode. It was a nice way to come down after last week. And in regards to Ezekiel and the kingdom, she says, it looked like a nice place to be considering the awful world our gang has to live in. But there has to be a downside. I like Ezekiel. Carol was so silly when she met Ezekiel. I loved it. I love Carol. I don't know. I just love the show.
Well, I definitely agree with that sentiment. Yeah, Carol was a little bit over the top this episode with her, her kind of helpless persona that she does. Like,
sweet and innocent act,
he said. Even like way over the top compared to what she did in Alexandria, I thought. Like, she was just, like, I don't know, maybe she was off her game a little bit.
No, I think it was, watching it the second time, I noticed that it seemed like she was kind of covering her Snickers, you know? She was like, she had to be more like, whoa, because she was like trying not to just outright laugh at them.
Yeah. But, yeah, and that breakfast cobbler thing.
I know. She's like, there's lunch cobbler.
You have cobbler every meal.
I could tell she's just trying to, like, hold it in. She's, like, trying to rein in her, you know, I guess the way that she feels it, the ludicrousness of this whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
And she eventually said that to Ezekiel, too. Yeah. Like I said before, that conversation that they had, for me was very needed. Cause I don't know if I would have given it a 9 until the last bits of the episode. It helped kind of solidify things for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Faith is next. She says, I don't know what's going on in the most wonderful way. My thoughts exactly, Carol. I don't have much to say beyond enjoyment. I love this. It was nice to have a break from lots of violence and to see Carol find just a little peace. I absolutely love the passive aggressiveness of walker-fed pigs. I do wonder if she and Ezekiel will have a relationship, since I assume he won't be getting it on with Michonne. And comic spoiler, neither of us has read the comics, but, you know, I've heard enough about the comics to know that Ezekiel and Michonne had a relationship in the comics. So what do you think about that? At the very end of the episode, like the last frame of the episode, when she started to crack a smile there, I thought, brown chicken, brown cow?
Definitely. He's crushing hardcore, and I think she digs it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a different kind of man than Tobin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like the idea of those two together. I would like to see that. I know some people still go on about Daryl and Carol, but I think that ship has sailed several times over at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, next we have Jeff, who says, we needed this episode after last week. I've had mixed feelings about Morgan, but feel he has a place in the kingdom. Maybe Carol can find her way back and into the kingdom as well. I thought it was a good episode and gave us insight into how other communities of survivors work and thrive. Now, if they can keep a balance of this and Negan, I think we will be okay. I agree.
Yeah.
I also, when I read that, Jeff, I thought the same thing. I thought, you know what? You're right. Morgan really does seem like he fits in way better in the kingdom than he has pretty much anywhere else.
He has a project now with Ben.
Yeah, a purpose. Ben, yeah. Is that his name? I don't know why I wrote down Daniel. Yeah.
Benjamin. He's, yeah.
Benjamin. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree, and I kind of liked how Morgan was. He seemed to be questioning his, the whole art of peace kind of thing that he learned from Eastman. He seemed very reluctant to let Ben read that book, you know, like I think he said something like, you know, I thought I had it all figured out, and, you know, I mean, clearly he's like, when he pulled his gun, you know, he seemed to, there was a look on his face. Like, he didn't seem to hesitate there. And, I think he was taken aback by it a little bit.
I wrote that too. I wrote, Morgan is dismayed at how quickly he turns to his gun.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I could see him being in the kingdom at least for a while. And certainly, like I say, he's going to play Mr. Miyagi for a while, so that makes sense.
Yeah, Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off.
Yep. All right. Next feedback we have is from Dieta. She says, I love this episode. Carol had me LMAO. She always knows how to switch those roles up to blend with what's going on at that time. King Ezekiel is a breath of fresh air. He runs around quoting quotes in his Shakespeare tone. I literally smiled every time he talked. I thought he was a little off his rocker at first, but as the show went on, I began to see his act, but not until he and Carol had their little BS talk did I fully understand why he did what he did with his kingdom. LOL. Morgan trying to explain to Carol after meeting the king and the tiger was so funny. Yeah, I got to agree with that. It was funny. Hopefully Morgan can convince her to come back to Alexandria. Pretty cool how he was able to train one of his knightsmen to use the fighting stick due to his inability to use other weapons. Needless to say, I love the episode. Oh, did we give her a rating before? Let me see. I think we missed it. Okay, We'll give it now. Dieta said she gave it a 9 out of 10. Life's great in the kingdom.
That's great.
Great. There we go.
Have you heard, you know who Tony the Tiger is?
Of course I know who Tony the Tiger is. Yes.
You didn't do a very good Tony the Tiger.
I did a terrible Tony the Tiger.
Well, maybe I should read it then.
I was like, yeah, take that, you low down dirty scoundrels. I hope they are some bacon pork chop eating group. Can't wait to see what if it does anything to them besides give them the runs.
That's funny. I hope it wreaks some kind of havoc.
Yeah. I mean, and what if it does? What's going to happen?
I don't know that they would necessarily suspect anything in the beginning.
Right.
I mean, you don't, like, you think you've got people under your thumb. You don't necessarily, you know, suspect them of subterfuge.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
It's, you know, like, we have seen people eat tainted meat before, but we never found tainted meat, but we don't know, you know, whether or not, Bob's leg would have gave the, hunters or Terminus people termites. You know, yeah, the termites, if it would had made them sick or not, because they got chopped well before that.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is it for our main feedback. But we did have a poll.
Okay.
And the poll was, and we got some feedback from that. What do you think about the tiger? And it was, the winner was very cool. I loved it. And that got a total of 21 votes. Yeah. 21 votes. The next was, it was okay, which got 5 total votes. And then the other options, which were like it, I didn't care for it. It was kind of dumb. I disliked it, but didn't hate it. And I was going to remove that is kind of dumb, but Facebook wouldn't let me remove it. So I couldn't change the question after I had put it up. And hated it. And no one
hated it.
Yeah, no one had voted for those last 4. So either you loved it or you thought it was okay. So what, I don't think you voted. What would you have voted had you voted?
Had I voted?
Had you
voted? I probably would have just put liked it. I mean, I didn't really, honestly, it wasn't until the end that I was really okay with the tiger, because, again, I think I may have expressed my dismay at the about the tiger at some earlier point. I was kind of like, you know, I mean, it's a pet that could eat you.
Yeah, definitely.
At some point in time, like, kill you and eat you. And but, you know, his explanation of how, you know, Shiva came to be with him, I guess, basically, it makes sense to a certain extent, and it makes the idea of Shiva much more plausible and believable. So at first I was kind of like, yeah, tiger. But then when he tells about the reasons why and everything, you know, I liked it better. So I don't know if I would go so far as to say very cool exclamation point, loved it exclamation point, but I mean, I liked it.
You have to be different. No one voted for it, liked it, but I get what you're saying. I voted for it was okay. And I had, you know, during our preview episode, you know, I had voiced some misgivings about the tiger. Some of those were, I felt, realized, particularly the introduction of the tiger, like the chain looked particularly fake. It was too shiny and shiny that didn't mix in with everything else in the scene. And I thought it was distracting how the tiger always seemed to have a very bright light on it to kind of mask its imperfections, I think. But as the episode went on, and particularly, I think, when Ezekiel comes to the door of Carol's new place, the tiger there looked much better. So hopefully, you know, as they start using the tiger, they will get a better hang of it, and it'll look more realistic as they go. So, but story-wise, I didn't mind it at all. So once it was explained, it made sense to me.
All right.
And I will also say that another thing that I really liked about it, and I'm saying this because he was involved in the introduction, that Jerry guy.
Jerry, yeah, he was hilarious.
Yeah, he was. He was definitely hilarious.
He was on Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, what did he play on there?
Just a coder.
Oh, just programmer. A coder. Cool.
Programmer guy.
Is he still on there, or?
I can't remember, but I'm kind of thinking / leaning towards no. I think most of the guys that were coders / programmers on that show at that one particular time, that I basically that worked with that guy, I don't think that they're on the show anymore.
Mm.
So,
okay.
That portion of the show is done, I guess.
Yeah. So,
at least that's the way it seemed.
So we got some actual feedback specific about the tiger. So why don't you take, say the first couple there? 'Cause they're pretty short.
All right. Heather says, knowing that the tiger was CGI, I looked very closely and was pleased with how lifelike it was. And then Brittany says, I could definitely tell it was CGI, but I'd rather TWD have a CGI tiger that's not perfect than a real tiger on the show. Agreed with both of you.
Yeah.
Even though you guys disagreed, sort of.
Well, when Brittany said that and I responded to her comment there that I, when she mentioned it and she said, you know, how it would kind of be cruel to, you know, use a tiger in this way and all of that stuff. And I'm always thinking of Siegfried and Roy and all the, you know, and other, things that I've seen on like, true incident kind of things like tiger incidents. I remember there was,
I mean like documentaries.
Well, not really documentaries, like Most Shocking or something like that. I remember there was one scene from India, a tiger attacked like some people on an elephant, and it was really scary looking. So, you know.
Because they're freaking scary, man.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So,
I mean, if you've ever seen your house cat play with a mouse to death, that's kind of how all cats act. And if they're like twice as large as you, then that makes you the mouse.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Considering a tiger's what, like 350, 400 pounds.
I don't know, but they're all muscle, man.
Oh yeah.
More than I could. They can run faster than you. They can beat you up. They can eat you. Just, it's an all around bad deal. And I agree. I think it's better that they don't have a real live tiger on the set. Mainly, I mean, yeah, the humane thing, but because of the fact that, as they said on Talking Dead, working with a live animal, like a live tiger like that, can be very unpredictable and very scary.
I agree.
So.
I definitely agree. Corey R. said, honestly, I was really worried about the tiger. I was afraid it was going to look like something out of Asylum Pictures, like Z Nation. But TWD pulled it off. It looked amazing, completely real, a great part of a great episode. Nice job, TWD. Yeah. Ryan, who, of course, and if you've never seen on the Facebook group, he shared some pictures of his artwork on his arms of various comic book stuff from The Walking Dead is pretty awesome. I'd never do that to myself, but more power to you, Ryan. He says, I can't wait for Shiva action scenes. Boy, yeah, that will be pretty awesome if it's done correctly.
Yeah.
Why don't you take the last one? All right.
Laura says, I loved Shiva. The first moments on screen, King Ezekiel's eyes did not match Shiva's. So you could tell it was digitally done. I was very surprised at that, knowing Greg Nicotero directed it, and he is marvelous. As it went on, it was better, especially when Ezekiel and Shiva knocked on Carol's door for some action, shall we say. LOL.
Yeah. So I also asked a separate question about Ezekiel and or the kingdom, but we interspersed your comments about that in the feedback already, so you've already heard what was said for that. So other than the things that were discussed in the feedback, do you have anything else that you would like to talk about with this episode?
I kind of feel like I kind of feel like Morgan was playing the role of the audience in this episode a little bit. Like, he didn't really know what was going on. He didn't know what to make of them. You know, he's like talking about Ezekiel, does his own thing, he says. And then, you know, he questions Ezekiel at one point in time. You know, you knew I had experience with the saviors. Is that why you brought me here, so I could do that again? And Ezekiel was like, you know, quite the opposite. And so we kind of, we're left in the same shoes as Morgan. We don't really know what to think about what's going on. You know, we see these pigs being fattened up on tainted meat, and we're like, what are you doing with those? You know, kind of a thing. And then later on it's revealed, and I was just like, oh, clever. And, you know, again, that was one of the times I wrote down, and I like, I like Ezekiel a little bit more. And it's because, you know, he's trying to use his brains rather than his brawn to defeat them.
Right.
And I think, I hope when they finally team up with Alexandria and with Rick that, that Negan will, you know, go down. But I wrote down, that Ezekiel is crushing hard on Carol.
And don't forget, Ruthie, about the hilltop and the power of Jesus. Because Jesus saves.
And yeah, Ninja Jesus, man.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wrote down that I really wanted to say was that I think there's just the problems with the saviors. There are many problems with the saviors. They subjugate. They're so arrogant. They pick fights for no reason. And, you know, then they just get to take free shots. I mean, they're bullies. And yeah. I don't like bullies. So,
well, definitely that long haired dude was, you know, a jerk face, yeah. You know, typical, some of the, you know, typical things we've seen of, Negan's people, but, the leader there, Gavin, seemed to be much more reasonable. I thought he seemed
a little bit more level headed, but
he seemed to respect Ezekiel, you know, more than I had expected to see. Did you get that? Vibe too, or no?
Sort of. I mean, yeah, but I kind of was like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he still came out with the, you know, next week is produce, so produce.
Well, yeah.
Like, so it's not, I mean, it was kind of like, I think that okay, this is my take on it. He is probably accustomed to people trying to shortchange them or whatever, you know, and having to be all, you know, lay the smack down, I guess, so to speak. And so when Ezekiel didn't, he was like, well, all right, then, you know, this is going to work out great. So he kind of, he respects, and I say that with laser beams, in other words, quotation marks, or air quotes, as it were. He respects him in so much as he thinks that he's getting exactly what he wants from Ezekiel. So yeah. It's not so much respect as he appreciates that. And he right. doesn't want to screw up what he sees as a good thing.
Right.
But, you know, if what's his face, Gavin or whatever, not Gavin, whoever the long haired asshat is.
Asshat. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cutter, for that word. That was.
Yeah, exactly.
We will use it over and over again.
he's like, yeah. Oh, stop. Don't hit him again. Stop. You know, I mean, like, he didn't really. And then, you know, of course, if you don't produce for us, then he's going to be the first to go, kind of a thing. And it's kind of like, it's not really respectful in so much as it's like, all right, this is going to be great. You know, maybe he's appreciative of what he thinks is going to be a nice, easy run for them, you know, kind of a thing. And little does he know, of course, but that's kind of what I thought anyway.
How long do you think this relationship has gone on with them? And,
I feel like it's very new.
You think it's very new?
Yeah.
One question that I had is, you know, how long, well, okay. I've got several questions with this, I guess, but I guess I'll start with why did he allow Morgan to see this? Was it because they figured out that that was one of Negan's people, so he wanted him there? Was it that? Or because it seems like if this is such a secret, bring Morgan in, who, you know, doesn't have any loyalty to Ezekiel at this point. It seems like a bit of a risk to do that.
Well, I think I really appreciated, I can't remember his full name, except for his first name is Kari. I really appreciated what he said about Ezekiel in Talking Dead, because he said that he watches a lot. Ezekiel is watching a lot. And I think that he knows that it was a savior that was at the heart of that confrontation. He knows that the bag of guns or whatever guns that Carol had were savior guns, because he told Carol as much.
Yeah.
So he knows that they've had encounters with these people. I think he sees what Morgan is capable of. You know, he has an idea of how he thinks Morgan might react to this situation. And I think he wants to get Morgan on his side. So he knows that Morgan is anti-savior, so to speak, but so he wants to show him what he's doing, like his plan, I think,
yeah.
sort of a thing. I think he wants to draw Morgan in to sort of, you know, keep him, I guess.
Yes. And but what do you think about, you know, the this whole...
There's a conspiracy out there. You know what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N conspiracy.
I couldn't help it. I have to do it again.
I don't really think it's a conspiracy necessarily. I think that he's right, though, that it's not that, you know, secrets aren't a reward from leading. They're a burden. I just think he's a very smart guy. You know, I think he sees things clearly. And, you know, as Kari said, he's a zookeeper. He was a zookeeper in a previous life, means he likes taking care of things. So when he tells Carol why he cares, because he makes him feel good, I think that's the truth. And so yeah. he wants to, you know, I think he's one of those people that wants other people to succeed, you know, wants them to do well, wants them to be happy, wants them to, you know, and genuinely does, not just for, you know, the good it can do me, but for, you know, the benefit in and of itself that can bring to everybody. I mean, like you said, people who feel safe are more productive. They're less dangerous, you know, and all that is true. And all that is, you know, what made me like him so much more. I'm like, gosh, this guy is making so much sense. You know, I can't fault him at all. You know, he's like, you know, if they need that, then I'll give it to them. And, you know, I'd like you to keep this to yourself for them and maybe a little bit for me too. You know, I mean, he's not going to lie and say, I don't like it. Cause yeah, he likes it a little bit. I mean, he was fake it till you make it. And, you know, part of that is I kind of like what I'm doing a little bit, but I think that he likes what he's doing, not because he's, you know, ruling over these people or subjugating them or anything like that, but because he's helping them.
Yes. Yeah. And he is, you know, truly trying to do good. And I think he is right that if he told them, you know, what was going on, if it became a known thing that their group would try to fight and most likely would not be able to sustain a lengthy battle with the saviors.
Yeah, he's probably aware of them and how numerous they are. And he, you know, is going to have to basically use subterfuge.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully he can keep that subterfuge up as long as possible and keep people in the dark as long as possible. Because, you know, if things kind of...
As long as it's necessary to do so, I think.
Yeah. If things turn sour like they did, you know, with the Hilltop and, you know, they want, like, Gregory's head, that might be a problem, you know, going forward, if they can't, like, the thing that I worry about is that the saviors will start, you know, upping the quota and they won't be able to.
They will.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, like, you can only, I don't know, like, okay, they said next week is produce. So obviously they're not going to expect hogs every week because, I mean, honestly, they take time to grow. Like, you can't just, it's like in Fear. They should have been eating eggs, not chickens, because eventually all the chickens are going to be gone. And then what the hell have you got? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I don't know. I don't know. But see, I don't know if Negan is smart enough to have figured that kind of stuff out, or if he is just going to demand and you give me whatever I want, no matter what. Even if, you know, if I want the moon, you better damn find a way to give it to me.
Yeah.
Even if it's ridiculous.
I tend to think that although maybe they're, you know, his people don't all have it figured out. I think Negan's pretty darn smart and I think he's got it pretty figured out. So, you know, like he said last week, you know, he wants them to work for him. So, you know, if he's just going to set his workers up to fail, then eventually, you know, and he has to, you know, eliminate them. That doesn't really help him either, because if the, you know, because was that one, was it the library? You know, they fought back, like that one, the The guy that was hanging, he was from the library, as they called it. Obviously, I don't know if they ever had an arrangement and they fought back, or they just fought back. I don't know. But, you know, clearly, you know, if the group is resolved to none, it's not going to be very productive anymore, you know. So,
yeah, I agree. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
We shall see. I just can't wait for the Kingdom and Alexandria to combine forces, so to speak. And I think that Ezekiel will be able to inspire Rick and the gang to, you know,
yeah,
give them hope again, I guess. I hope.
Yeah. And to me, that was the best part of this episode, was hope.
Yeah.
It was hopeful. And, you know, yes, the Kingdom people are mostly, you know, in the dark. But I think, at least for now, there's an equilibrium, you know, that Ezekiel's been able to set with the Saviors. And, you know, as long as he can keep producing for them to their satisfaction, then everything's going to be okay. Now, somebody like Richard may have an issue, you know, even if nothing happens, just because of that jerk face.
Mm-hmm.
Although I definitely did like Richard, you know, I loved how he said, you know, only halfway free. When Ezekiel did that, you know, kind of declaration to the walkers, you know, someday you will be, you know, vanquished or whatever. I forget how he said it, but I loved how he said only halfway free.
Right.
And now we know why. One thing that I wanted to bring up was the whole thing in the cold open with Carol and, you know, seeing people and walkers turn in people and back in the walkers and stuff like that. It was like, what do you make of that? What was that? Was it just that she was hallucinating, or like, what was the payoff of that?
I have no idea. I didn't understand that. I don't know why they did it. Made no sense to me.
It was cool, but it didn't seem to make any sense. It was very confusing. And part of the reason why I marked some things down in the episode. I liked it. I liked the effect, but I didn't understand what it meant.
I don't know. I didn't really like it that much, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really, it didn't make sense to me either. So I don't know. I wrote down, I don't understand how they suddenly got attacked, for one thing. I don't understand why Carol is seeing the walkers as real people or why she runs again.
It didn't make a lot of sense. Definitely. And, you know, maybe it was just that she was in her weakened state, but nevertheless, it was still kind of weird. Did you notice a bridge, so to speak, between Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead? Did you notice what they were calling them in the Kingdom, or at least Ben did?
Yeah, he called them the Wasted.
Yeah, the Wasted. Yes, I kept thinking of the Bros. And of course, when we talk about the Bros, we have to go...
Oh, that poor guy.
I didn't think I would be using that in The Walking Dead, but when I heard the Wasted, I kept thinking of Don't Tase Me, Bro. Bros and their brotastingness.
Their bro douchery.
Yes, they're the three bros, the bromigos. Mm-hmm.
Bromigos, yes.
Yeah, so so one thought that I had, speaking of Negan's group, it seemed like Ben was not there when his father died. And I think it was mentioned that several other people died. It made me wonder, could this have actually happened with Negan's group and not been something else?
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wondered that. I mean, and Ben... you know, okay, I guess he seemed to be picking up the bow staff some, but he did seem to be pretty incompetent. You know, like machete to the shoulder, that's not good, or to the neck, that's not going to work for any walker. All right, so that's all we've got. So if you want to submit feedback, actually, it's worth saying next week we have to record a day late. So the feedback will be extended one day. So instead of Tuesday, it will be Wednesday at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Wednesday after the episode. So if you want to get in your feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And you can leave a voicemail or written feedback. And then, of course, the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And we are still getting a nice influx of members. We are getting close to the 200
Woo-hoo.
Level. So welcome several people that have joined in the last week. So many, I think that I'm not seeing them all, but, yes. If you're not a member of the Facebook group and you're on Facebook, then join us.
Yeah. It's worth saying also the reason why we're recording late is because there's a rather large event happening in the United States next week, and I will not be able to concentrate on recording. So
yes,
it only happens once every 4 years.
Yes. And because I can't vote because I'm, a criminal. I'm not a criminal, people. I'm a Canadian. I can't vote yet. I'm not a citizen of this country yet. Hopefully by next election, I will be. Anyway, for some stupid reason, I did not think of that because I'm dumb, at least when it comes to the voting thing. No, I do understand it. I just have not had a chance to vote in the rather complicated American system of voting compared to the Canadian system, which is one vote for a person, basically like your congressman, but a member of parliament, and that's all you have to vote for. And it's much cheaper than the American elections. It just boggles my mind how much money is spent on U.S. elections every time. It's way, way, way less money in Canada, but, anyway,
well, if you would like an off mic lesson on how our system works, I would be happy to give that to you.
That might actually be helpful when I have to do my civics test when that comes. So, yeah. So anyway, I mentioned Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. You can also join us if you do Walking Dead GSM, which of course is Golden Spiral Media, our parent network. So I asked for this on the Facebook group. I did a search on iTunes, and there are more and more and more and more Walking Dead podcasts that are coming up. And when I did a search earlier today, yesterday, we came in 36th, which I was shocked about. And we got a 5-star rating that came in. And so now we're 34th.
Yay.
So I think that we're better than the 34th best podcast on The Walking Dead. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say we're the best, but I don't think we're the 34th best. I think we're up there. So if you would really, 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 I would really appreciate it if both of us would, if you could give us a review. You can go to, or especially a rating. It's the ratings that help move us up. So goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes will get you there, or you can just search in iTunes, find us, and give us, you don't even have to do a review. Just quickly find us, give us a 5-star rating if you love us, and move on with your day. It only takes a few seconds. So that would really, really help us out, because I don't like being 34th best. It sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to support us. Other ways, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support and give your GoFundMe. Why don't you give that to the lovely people?
The URL is www.gofundme.com/RuthiePodcasts. And there are links for that all over the place. In the show notes, I think, on the Facebook group, if you're on Facebook, and other places. If you want it, if you can't find it for some reason, send us a feedback or email or whatever, and I can give it to you.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're just joining us for the first time, Ruthie's computer has been giving her problems for quite a while now, and it's been getting worse. And she really needs some help. And, you know, even if you just have a dollar or two that you could give her, that would be helpful. And if you don't, that's okay. Share it to people you know. And for that matter, for a podcast, share, you know, our podcast with people. You know, if you love us, if you think we're worthy of a 5-star and you know some other friends that, you know, watch The Walking Dead, let them know about us, you know? So our next episode, this episode was called The Well. And strangely enough, the next episode is called The Cell.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I don't have the writer or the director for it, but I do have a description. So the description is: a new group of survivors seem to have it all in their impressive community. However, there is a price, and I'm thinking that's the Saviors going to be this episode, based on the previews.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. And this is it for this episode, but until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this is
The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.